Hi everyone, good to have you here. To start, I have a question for you. Who of you has ever volunteered for something and then suddenly became the expert forever? Nice, you're in the right room. So today we will follow the story of Alex, who tried to fix one tiny issue and ended up shaping the whole AppSec story. But first, let's meet Alex and the people behind the story. Alex isn't real, but the story is. Many of us have been Alex at some point. We are the people who got promoted to security just because we knew what OWASP Top 10 was. So today, this isn't just a talk. It's a bit of a group therapy sessions for security engineers who never meant to become security engineers. We will not introduce ourselves, as today it's about Alex, Alex's story, and maybe also a bit of yours. And like every good story, it all starts with one tiny mistake. It's November 2020, it's cold outside, it's snowing, and Alex, a 30-year-old full-stack developer, is sitting in his cozy office with a hot cup of coffee on the table, implementing some features. Then suddenly, he stumbles upon a broken CSP header. He's like, ah, well, that's a small one, let's fix that. Surprise, it's not a small one. It's the beginning of Alex's five-year roller coaster. It's where our accidental hero is born. And of course, every hero starts with some terrible tools. So Alex works in this 50-person SaaS startup with one coffee machine, one mysterious Kubernetes cluster, and exactly zero security budget. The entire security investment so far was one Burp Suite Community Edition license, and many of you will know it's free, and Alex's free time. He reached out to the management to ask for budget. They show him the AWS invoice and tell him, well, that's our security investment, leaving Alex speechless. But even with nothing, Alex still managed to make some progress. Alex detects more and more security issues and starts fixing them. More and more people are reaching out to Alex, asking for advice, for security questions, asking for code reviews, and so on. At some point, Alex becomes the go-to person for security. Pride turns into recognition. But with this growing task list on Alex's desk, recognition turns into pressure. And that's when structure, or the lack of it, starts to matter. After those early wins, Alex feels unstoppable. He absolutely loves his new role. Until the company starts to grow. From these 50 people in the beginning, the company doubles to 100 people. And Alex's workload doesn't just double, it grows four times faster. And that's when the iceberg starts to show itself. On the surface, everything still looks manageable. Alex fixes some vulnerabilities, he does some code reviews, he gives some advice. But below the surface, the invisible work is growing fast. There are customer questionnaires coming up. Risk assessment needs to be done. Compliance asks for help. He needs to do architectural reviews. And somehow, he also needs to fix some pipelines. The organization scales, the work scales, but it's still only one Alex. To understand what comes next, it helps to visualize how security needs to grow, not as a checklist, but as a whole city evolving. Let's take a look. As a company grows, security has to evolve like a city. So if we imagine this city being security, then a centralized model could be having one lock on the main gate. When we move towards embedded engineers, it would be like having one defender in each tower in our city. A platform model, can we imagine like having self-repairing fortifications in our city? And security champions are literally architects walking around helping the city to defend itself. And this leads us straight into Act Two, the era of one hero doing everything. So we are at the stage where Alex alone is the whole security department. There are clearly some pros from his point of view. He has high control. Everything related to security lands on his table. There is clear ownership. Everyone knows to whom to reach out. He can make consistent decisions, and he also likes the hero status he has right now. But there are also some cons. So Alex is not scalable. He is the single point of failure. Oftentimes, developers are waiting for his review. When he gets hit by a bus at some point, the whole security department is gone. And burnout, though the task list is still growing, burnout is lurking behind every sprint. Centralized application security feels heroic, but it can end dramatically. And sure enough, the breaking point arrives. So imagine Alex, after a really hard day, completely exhausted, going to bed, trying to get the really hard needed sleep, and then at 3 a.m. the pager starts bleeping. There is a critical vulnerability. Alex needs to fix it immediately. So he starts doing that at 6 a.m. in the morning. He finished, he goes back to bed, 1 hour of sleep until he needs to get up again and go to the company. So he's going to the office even more exhausted and completely tired, looking forward to another cup of hot coffee, but the coffee machine is bleeping too. There is no coffee. So everything is bleeping except the people who should help Alex, because there is no one, there is just Alex right now. And that's the point when Alex realizes he needs to change something, because otherwise the story won't end well. So another try to discuss it with the management, and he managed to get 2 additional security engineers. They put them into the teams as embedded engineers, not as a police, but to help the product teams to move fast safely. And this works really well in the beginning. So these 2 embedded engineers participate in stand-ups, they help with code reviews, they help with architectural design. For the first time, Alex can catch his breath, and he's optimistic that now everything is going well. But very soon, he learns that without shared standards, every team defines secure differently. He looks into the teams, and what he sees is that they developed incompatible security habits. One team lives on outdated checklists. Another team invents zero trust plus custom crypto. And another team ships now and hopes to fix later. Instead of one baseline, the company now has several versions of security. Stories keep losing revenue because there is no shared definition of good. This is what happens when embedded teams lack a platform or governance layer. Good intentions turn into fragmentation. So it's time to standardize tools if we cannot standardize behavior.
So Alex hits the limit of human scaling and does the only thing he can do. He automates himself. He builds scanners, dashboards, pipeline checks, basically turning himself into a one-person platform AppSec team. So suddenly Alex supports 20 teams without cloning himself. And for the first time, Alex feels security is scalable. But Alex learns something quickly. A platform only works if people actually use it. So Alex designed this and launched this beautiful security portal. He's proud of it. He even wrote documentation no one asked for, but nobody uses it. It's not because developers don't care. They're already drowning in work. And Alex, he realizes it's not a tooling problem, it's a trust and ownership problem. Automation scales process, but not adoption. So Alex needs something automation can't give him. Trust. Trust can't be automated. Alex changes his approach. Instead of expecting people to come to his portal, he brings security to the people. He starts a security champion network. Pizza, of course it's pizza, gets them in the room. People actually come. Hoodies, they create a sense of identity. And training turned the early curiosity into actually capability. This is the first time Alex sees security becoming something other teams actually want to be part of. And this is where Alex realized culture is slow, but powerful. And security shifted from something imposed to something teams owned. Alex watches the champions do the thing he used to do alone, spotting issues early, explaining security decisions, nudging their teammates to do safer defaults. They cared because it was their system, and the important part, security, now has reach. Teams start owning more of the security, not waiting for Alex to jump in. But it's not perfect. Champions, they need guidance, they need training, and someone in AppSec to keep the program alive and to buy the pizza. So culture takes time. And with champions working, security became shared rather than centralized. After years of trial and error, Alex accepts the truth. No single model is going to save him. Real organizations, we need a bit of all four layers, each solving different problems. Centralized gives Alex the control of shared standards, fast incident response. Embedded gives a deep context for high-risk systems, for example. And the platform gives the scale and the consistency. And the champions, they drive the culture. So Alex stops chasing the best model and builds a hybrid. And now Alex needs to know if his hybrid actually works and asks himself, how can I measure if it actually works? Alex starts tracking the things that matter. Mean time to resolution, MTTR. Are teams reacting faster? Coverage, are service actually being scanned? The champion activity, who is engaged? The tool adoption, do teams trust the platform? And Alex learns metrics, they show motion, but trust shows transformation. He stops pushing tools, he starts building relationships. If Alex could go back in time, here's what he would have whispered to himself on day one. So Alex would tell his younger self, topology, it always mutates. Stop searching for that final form. Developers, they scale security much more than tools ever will. Invest in those relationships and not in the tools. Fix what hurts you daily. And the champions, they need support, the training, the tool, the time, the recognition, not just the pizza, but also the pizza. And culture grows slower than Kubernetes clusters. So these are the scars Alex earns on the way to the maturity. And for anyone joining a company mid-chaos, Alex has some advice for you. So if you are a newcomer joining an organization, Alex tells to ask, you need to ask what AppSec model they run. If no one can answer this question, congratulations, you are the model now. And ask for how fast they are growing, who builds the platform, ask what metrics actually matter. And yes, of course, check the coffee. So, and before we close, here's the final mindset that ties it all together. Alex eventually understands AppSec is not a department. It's a strategy for how the organization learns. Everyone influences the topology, the developers, the security champion, the new hires. So Alex stops trying to fix that one security. Instead, he fixes one small piece at a time. And pizza still solves more cultural problems than most governance documents do. Over years, Alex tracks the budget. It was 40% the scanners, the tool, 60% the pizza. And honestly, the pizza drives most of the change. So this sets up Alex's key takeaways for you. Alex's playbook became honest and simple. Right-size the model. Don't pretend you are Google, Netflix. Pick the topology that fits your current size. Automate your pain and fix the boring, the repeating stuff first. Build allies, not mandates. The champions, they help more than any top-down policies. And survival is much more important than perfection. Alex knows that practical security wins. And time to close Alex's roller coaster journey properly. Alex looks back at 5 years of chaos, victories, mistakes, experiments, late night Slack messages, failing pipelines, champion meetups, and way too much pizza. He realizes something important. He never built a perfect AppSec program. He built a moving one, one that adapts as the company grows. And that's the real lesson. Security scales when people scale it, when developers, champion, and security work together instead of apart. So Alex celebrates not because everything is perfect, but because everything is finally moving into the right direction. And with that, thank you for joining Alex's roller coaster ride.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for this great talk, and we have really time for some additional questions. So,
thanks for this very, very great talk. So, also resonates a lot with my experience. Two questions, maybe, since we have time. First one would be, like, how do you see the scaling factor? Like, how big do you see one security team member in comparison then to the number of developers or something? If you have some kind of indication in this direction, for example, I read in the past that there's on average like one security engineer for 100 developers. Would you say this is a good metric, or would you say this is still not manageable? And my second question would then be, how much do you formalize the role of a security champion? Do you add like job descriptions? Do you allocate specific time slots basically, or percentage of work time to that role? Or is it more, do you have better experience like relying on people's enthusiasm to do security?
Mm-hmm. Both are good questions. Thank you so much. The first one, I don't have clear numbers what the scale is between security engineers or security champions, but what I experienced is, the security champions have a good culture, and the strong security champion network helps very much with the scaling part. And where you have usually one security champion in one dev team. And for the second part, What was the second part? the formalization of the role. I mean, we have a description, for example, of what a security champion does. They can allocate 10% of their time, for example. That's good, and this helps actually with the support. And but what I experienced, like, if you have that strong community and you see and have a security champion running a program running for some time, actually more people want to join. So it's, and even some people do the security champion type of work because they feel it's the right thing to do in their team. So it's,
I think what's also important here is that there is support from top down.
Yeah.
So they don't need to fight for this 10%, but they just have it and can use it.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you once again, Vanessa and Raman.
Thank you.